See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So here we are, second Sunday in Advent. Have you figured out yet what Advent is all about? In society, is it the shopping season before Christmas? In church, is it a liturgical season before Christmas with a pared-down liturgy and purple vestments? No, at the bottom of all of this, Advent is a time of intentional waiting. But waiting for whom? For Santa?
Sorry, kids. No.
For Jesus, yes. And if we are waiting for Jesus, what are we waiting for? We are waiting for hope. Hope for salvation. Salvation is defined as being saved or protected from harm, or being saved or delivered from a dire situation. But in a religious sense, salvation is saving of the soul from sin and its consequences. We hope for, we long for mercy. We hope for, we long for freedom. Our looking forward, our waiting is for the coming of Jesus, who has already come to us in his birth 2,000 years ago. We wait for Jesus, who came as a vulnerable human baby, who throughout his adult ministry aligned himself with the most vulnerable. We wait for the coming of Jesus into our hearts and into our daily lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you happened to see last night on CNN, Anderson Cooper was hosting a show called Young Wonders, a CNN hero special. And it was called Young Wonders because it was about five exemplary young people who have found Jesus in their heart, whether they know him by that name or not, seeking out the most vulnerable on this planet. And these were young people. One young boy named Max absolutely loves baseball. And at 11 years old, he was able to play in the World Playoffs for Little League. And the team from Uganda showed up. And they were a ragtag bunch, but they played with spirit, and they had made their way all the way to the World Finals. And what he saw was all of these kids playing with such enthusiasm, the game that he loved so much, but they had very little in the way of equipment. And he thought to himself at 11 years old, I have stuff in my garage. My teammates have stuff in their garage. These kids should have things to play with. Well, he's now grown up, he's in his early 20s, but he started this ministry of gathering up all of this excess baseball equipment, and was able, through the workings of his father and connections that they had made in town, to be able to go over to Kenya and bring this stuff with them. And it's been going on for years. And over the last 4 years, baseball has become the most popular sport in Kenya. But the amount of stuff that he collects is incredible. And he marks all of it with the number 20, which was his coach's number. And his coach was his inspiration at 11 years old. His coach inspired him so much and unfortunately took his own life. But he wanted to do something to honor his coach. So this is what he's doing, his ministry to these young boys in Africa. The second person that they talked about was a young woman whose name was Sonica. And she started what's called the Birthday Giving Program. She lives in Chicago, and for her family always celebrated birthdays, big time celebrations, celebrating not only the person's birth, but their life and all the gifts that they bring to life in their family and the world, community. And she thought, this should be something that everybody celebrates, this gift of life. And so she started this program of making cakes. She has three or four of her young relatives work with her, and on weekends they make birthday cakes, and they take them to homeless shelters where they found out who's having a birthday that week. They take them to places that have disabled people. They take them to nursing homes where there are aged people who don't have any family that come and visit them. And they put together little gift bags for the people, and they celebrate with great gusto, love, and care the lives of these people and the gifts that they have brought into the world. The third person was called Liam. He's 11 years old, and he lives up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where you would think that everybody has everything that they need. But around his home, at 11 years old, he noticed that there were homeless people, and he wanted to bring them something to eat. So he started out the first weekend with 20 peanut butter sandwiches and some cookies. It has since grown into this magnificent ministry where he now serves about 2,000. And most recently, in the show last night, they showed how he was able, with donations and whatever, to buy what's called an electric cart that's run by solar power, that he can go through the streets without having to drag all of these things with him. He has people signing up to volunteer to help and come and give out all of these lunches and everything. But I was most struck by what he said about the homeless that he meets. And he makes a point of talking to each and every one of them, not just handing them a bag, but talking to them. And he said, a lot of people treat them like they're not even humans, but they are. And this shouldn't be happening to them. This shouldn't be happening to them. These are wonderful examples of the way in which Jesus lives in our heart and helps us to look around for the most vulnerable. We have here at St. John's last week the Jesse tree and the giving that went out from this congregation. We had 64 individuals, young children, whose parents possibly couldn't provide for them a decent Christmas this year. And 64 names. Last year we did, what, 32? This year, 64, and I cannot wait to see how my office is overrun with packages. It started already. I can't get near my windows. But it's absolutely wonderful. So we wait during this Advent season for Jesus to come into our homes, into our towns, into our nation, into the world. Yet Jesus came, and he comes. And he comes to us each and every day like he has for these young children. We're told, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and he has set them free. He has opened their hearts to other people in generosity and love, compassion and mercy to go out there and be his hands and feet to those who are the most vulnerable. Bit by bit, and by each kind deed, each kind word, and each kind thought in our lives and offered into the lives of others, God is made manifest, transforming people into his likeness and transforming relationships, homes, and communities into God's kingdom. And through God's activity in our lives, we cast a vision for a kinder, more loving future for the world that we live in. And that vision, even if it is small, is so important because people without a vision have no hope. And without hope, there is nothing to live for. Now, the prophets of the Bible include John the Baptist that we hear about this morning as the forerunner and preparer before Jesus. And John came from the wilderness. And the wilderness is a place in the Hebrew Bible that is portrayed as a place of exile or scarcity. But the wilderness may also be a place of safety and divine provision. Remember that Jesus often went into the wilderness to pray for wisdom, guidance, and to seek refreshment from the demands of his ministry. And for John the Baptist, the place of the wilderness was where he grew spiritually, where he was commissioned by God to go forth with a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And his appearance on the scene at that time should not have been a surprise. We heard of his father's, Zechariah's, recounting the words of prophecy told to him by the angel this morning, Canticle 16, the angel Gabriel speaking to him. And he says, you, my child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And John preached a powerful message of God's forgiveness. Because with forgiveness there is hope. hope for reconciliation with God, hope for a future with final freedom and lasting peace with God. And without this vision and hope, there is nothing to live for. Without this vision, it is a life of desperation, a life of exile that may be, unfortunately for some, accepted as the last word. So John's message is powerful. He proclaims that living this way is not God's desire. Desperation and exile are not God's desire for us and are certainly not the hallmarks of God's kingdom. There's some truth in the saying that Advent is not truly felt by those who are comfortable and satisfied. Advent resonates most powerfully with those who know exile and yearn for home and freedom. It rings most clearly in the lives of immigrants so desperate for freedom that they risk all, clinging to the sides of boats and makeshift boats and rafts, enduring perilous journeys in turbulent seas or across arid deserts, living for days without fresh water or food or safety, and watching loved ones succumb to the elements or the brutality of armed men. The longing of Advent is most profoundly felt by those who know exile and yearn for freedom. Troubled teens, ailing veterans, the unemployed, the mentally ill, those without homes, without medical care, without emotional and family support. Or the elderly, without someone to care for them, without money to buy food or to pay their rent. It's felt most closely by people held in bondage by addiction, people who are falsely accused and without defense, people in abusive relationships without the inner strength or outside support to enable them to escape. Advent is felt by single parents doing their best and feeling that it is not enough to provide the bare necessities for their children or perhaps a celebratory Christmas. And it is felt by people who are grieving the loss of a loved one and all the hopes and dreams that died with them. Those who find themselves in wilderness situations cry out with tears and anger. Their pleas are a clarion call to those of us who are comfortable, to those of us who are comforted. They are the prophetic voices of our time calling us out of their needs. They call out so that we can be awakened from our comfortable slumber, so that we can walk life's journey with them, comforting them and strengthening them. And rather than telling them that they are in our thoughts and our prayers, how might it sound to them and feel to us if we said, "I hold you in my heart"? And join them in crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." May our hearts be awakened and petition God on their behalf, that the wilderness that surrounds them and us may also be a place of safety and divine provision. And for those of you who I hope took home one of these calendars, and there's still sun out in the narthex area out there, the reading for today, the second Sunday of Advent, is we pray on this day for the grace to hear God's messengers, the prophets. And who are God's messengers, the prophets in your life? Listen up. Amen.